Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419, 1-800-808-3419, or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before it even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman. And it is Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 54, the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the first Super Bowl appearance for the Chiefs since Super Bowl 4 when they beat the Vikings 23-7. And for the Niners, it's been since Super Bowl 29 when they hammered the Chargers 49-26. Let's talk about this upcoming Super Sunday matchup with none other than one of the hottest handicappers in the business, Mike North. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good, my friend Aldo. Good to talk to you. Good to talk to everybody at the bar room. Getting ready. We got some Super Bowl props. We got, a big preview of the game. I'm sure we'll be talking down the line about the Chris Bryant situation. We got picks to give out. We got three free picks to give out. I got a hockey up now, right now. Got a real good hockey play tonight on VegasScoresandOdds.com. Make sure you check it out, folks. I'm 60-36 all-time in hockey. I haven't done hockey for about a week and a half. But you know what? I'm trying to do something to break up the monotony, Aldo, because, you know, between the snow outside, the weather that the way it's been, I want to try to run from the impeachment hearings. And from right now, to be honest with you, I'm sort of like burnt out on the Kobe talk, too, a little bit. Not because I don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear about it, but it continues to bring you down the more you hear about it. And there are some things to talk about with that, too. So we got a full slate as far as Super Bowl week is concerned, my friend.
You're absolutely right about the Kobe thing. He deserves all the accolades and the mourning and so forth. But boy, oh boy, it is a lot. You turn on all the sports stations to get up to date on what's going on, and it's tribute after tribute, and it just breaks your heart. And some of these tributes are really tearjerkers. And so you start to, and then you turn on a news station, it's bad news happening in Washington, and it's just it's an onslaught.
I'm watching the Australian Open. I watched that this morning. I had to get away from it all. Not that I have any disrespect for anything that's on TV,
right.
But you know what? When you watch TV like I do, and I've been watching TV, it's the thing I do best, ladies and gentlemen. Turn on the tube and watch TV. I watch it every day, And I love the medium, always have. But to be honest with you, I think now it's gone above and beyond with a lot of this stuff. It's repetitive. And for me, who watched, you know, from beginning to end, it seemed for 2 days, I just wanted to step away. But we're hearing new stuff every day. I mean, I don't understand, first of all, the helicopter was from the state of Illinois. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's right.
It was used. I didn't know that. And it had no terrain warning. And, you know, I got to believe Kobe Bryant, with all the money that he made, you know what? I just wish to God it would have had the terrain warning.
Yeah.
The thing that warns you, when, especially if you live in the mountains. And I talked to Jeff Schwartz, our good buddy, Spaceball, in California today, because a couple things. He called me last night. Listen to this. He found his dog had passed away. He had a heart attack.
Aww.
He had a bulldog, 11 years old, named Boo. Great dog. And he went in the house because he thought to get water. And he passed away. He had a heart attack.
Oh.
And then I talked, you know, because he called me and he told me about it. And we were talking about it. And then I said, he doesn't live that far from where Kobe had the problem. And he said, Mike, the fog was unbelievable. And the speculation is, and it's only speculation, that they were running behind. And Kobe said, let's go.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That is so sad. And Mike, regarding that helicopter, I did see that on the Sunday night news that this helicopter was owned by the state of Illinois. It was built in 1991. It's a Sikorsky S-76B. And then when I saw the photograph of when it was property of the state of Illinois, that thing looked old to begin with. Then when Kobe bought it.
Kobe, to me, should have bought a new helicopter.
Yeah.
You got to have all the bells and whistles on it.
Yeah.
And to find out that you live in that area where there's mountains and you don't have a terrain warning alarm.
That's weird.
On the helicopter that you own and take almost every day was mind-boggling when I heard it.
Yeah.
Especially with the precious cargo that you have, that you would most often have on board.
And he did give it a paint job. It had the Nike swoosh on it, had his logo, was repainted black, and they probably, I didn't see any interior pictures, but it was probably spruced up on the inside. But for it not to have the latest technological safety stuff is too bad. It's just a total shame.
Yeah, how many mountains are there in Illinois? Well, they didn't do it. Illinois didn't put it on their helicopter, but really, there's no mountains.
Yeah, that's so sad.
And then to see this happen, and now we're finding out it was out of control. It was twisting as it was going down. Just tragic.
Very, very tragic. Our hearts go out to the Bryant family, all the friends and fans and followers of Kobe Bryant. Everyone's still mourning and will be for a long time. What do you think is the proper way at the Super Bowl this Sunday for them to honor Kobe?
A moment of silence with his picture. I think that's appropriate. I really do, especially since it's been a week. And I think by that time, a lot of things will have transpired. I do understand, you know, BB sort of set me straight on the why aren't they playing the game thing last night. I thought they should have played the game. L.A. Clippers versus the L.A. Lakers. I said to her, basically, that, you know, I remember two buildings we have that are iconic in this town, Marina City. And 13 guys died building that building.
Fell
to their deaths.
Right, right.
At different times. They didn't call work off the next day. And I thought it'd been 3-4 days. But then B did set me straight because of the association with all the employees that he had. And the fact that they both play in the same building.
Yeah.
And the fact that even the ticket takers knew him. And everything else. So I took a step back and I understand. I just was surprised when I first heard it.
Yeah. I was surprised as well because, you know, Kobe would have wanted everybody to kind of forge
on. Oh, he would have wanted it.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's why I was surprised. But I understand why out there they're saying that it would have been just too soon, to do it yet, and I guess because they're both Los Angeles teams, I thought it would have been a remarkable thing. I think it would have been a bonding moment for America. But you know what? They'll get back together. That doesn't make it any more easier for them.
Yeah.
The next when they do end up playing.
Yeah, I totally hear you. Q from Cincy also reminds us about the other families involved in the tragedy. And Q, you're absolutely right to bring that up. Our hearts go out to them as well. We're learning more about, you know, the people behind the stories behind the people that passed, and all of them sounded like just outstanding people. It's just a total shame. It really bad.
Yeah, it's one of the worst.
I got to tell you one thing, Mike. You said, you know, turning the TV, it's just bad news all over. But I turned on my Twitter machine, and I got some good news when I saw this performance by someone near and dear to me.
I'm doing a PSA for the guy. He hasn't talked to me for months since he got that AM1000 deal. Yeah, they've been losing the last couple weeks in the DeFalco. Uh-huh. And Vegas scores and odds, he's winning. I mean, he's 49-36. His last month.
That
NFL
is, of course.
That's a bitter match. So bitter. He didn't want you to get to North. He wanted the bookie Priest in North. And then he tried to undercut Huebner. I mean, the guy's just a rotten apple, man. He's at Our Lady of Agony Parish on the west side. And, you know, I mean, there's funds missing from the bowling treasury, the Knights of Columbus, you know. They think he's gambling. I don't know. And then he gets mad at me. But, you know, then I hear that. I see that. And, you know, he pretends to be my friend. Then he didn't even get our record right. I was 0-1, not 1-2.
That's right.
You know, because he just beat the living daylights out of your Orlando Magic. And,
my goodness.
You know, so I give full credit. You're not going to win every day, folks. That's the bottom line. But we got three beauties today, too. But, yeah, the Bookie Priest, it's always good when he makes an appearance. Mm-hmm. He's one of America's favorite characters. He should have his own talk show, to be honest with you, television.
He really
you know,
should.
Put him on to you. Well, you know, spruce up that little station a little bit. You know what I mean?
Why don't
give him a desk, put him interview the top celebrities of the day.
Why don't you bring him on next week? And I would love to interview the Bookie Priest.
I'll bring him on, but I won't stand in the same building. So I'll bring him in, and then you can interview him, and then I'll come back.
Sounds good. All right, let's turn our attention to Super Bowl Sunday. I wanted to start out with a soundbite that I heard from Trent Dilfer, the former quarterback who was actually on a Super Bowl winning team, the Baltimore Ravens. And he says he's got a feeling that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to get blown out. Let's go to him and listen to his rationale on this.
Go back to when the 49ers great teams played the Miami Dolphins and the Denver Broncos in those Super Bowls. They were talking about Marino and Elway, just like we're talking about Mahomes. Those were teams, Marino's Dolphins, Elway's Broncos, that the 49ers smashed in those Super Bowls that were quarterback-centric teams only. They didn't have the full depth of a football team. They weren't whole. They were carried by one player or an assortment of superstar power. I think that's the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs. I want it to be a great Super Bowl. But I'm looking at this thing on tape, and the 49ers, this could be like those 49ers wins in Super Bowls against the Dolphins, against the Broncos, where it gets out of hand early, and it's really not even a game.
Mike, your thoughts on Dilfer's theory there?
You know, I would say this, but Marino and Elway were stationary targets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess Elway could run, but he didn't go out of his way to run.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes, okay. He's a one-man gang, maybe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's true, but I do think Kelsey's good. I think there's other players that's good. I think that he's misreading the situation. Not to say that it can't happen. I mean,
sure.
In the 80s, when the 49ers and the Cowboys were running the Super Bowl, there was, like, the NFC won almost every single year.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the 49ers right now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not ready to say that they're going to go out and win by 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say to Trent Dilfer. Since you think it's going to be a blowout, give me Kansas City in 14.
That'd be great.
for 10 grand.
For 10 grand.
You know what he would you know what the know-it-all guy would tell you then? No. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
Because, Al, you and I have been around. We're buddies. We've been around enough. You're telling me it's going to be a blowout. Okay. Put your money where your mouth is. I'll only take 14. And it might end up being 31-0 San Francisco.
Right.
But he wouldn't take that bet.
That's correct. He would not. He would not touch that. That is for sure.
No, and I wish I would have been the guy to talk to him. See, that's how I used to. When I was at Radio Row, I was there for 17 years.
Right.
Some of the greatest times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sitting there doing it. Jesse Rogers, a bunch of us, then Jen Patterson, Fred Huebner, Jiggs. And when I first started on Radio Row, there was like 20 stations. Now there's like hundreds. And I remember one time I'm sitting there during a commercial talking. I look up and there's Joe Namath in front of me.
Wow.
Another time, Joe Montana. Mm. Marshall Faulk is a rookie. God, I interviewed him when he's at San Diego State.
Wow.
At the Super Bowl in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So all these guys, I had so much fun. Joe Theismann and I became close.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I went out to the Super Bowl, we'd have lunch. Good guys, good people.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun. But I remember asking Brian Billick, you know, are you mad because you didn't win the Super Bowl on your terms? He goes, what do you mean? Well, you're an offensive guy,
right?
And you signed Elvis Gerbic, but then you got smart. You went to Trent Dilfer. But it was always about the defense. He got mad. But you know what? That's good. They're right there for you.
You were the only one that would ask a question like that, which millions of people are thinking about, but no one else in the media would ask that question on behalf of the fans.
I said to Derek Anderson when he signed a huge deal with Cleveland, the next week he's at the Super Bowl. I said, you got overpaid. You got away with murder. He goes, well, that's your opinion. But then we had a good discussion.
Yeah, right.
And I was right about him.
Mm-hmm.
He did get away with murder.
He sure did.
He did make big money, but good for him. I wasn't trying to say that. I just, I was making a lot of money. I got away with murder. A lot of people get away with murder, you know? But you know what? The Super Bowl, here's what I would tell everybody. What usually you expect at the Super Bowl, doesn't always happen.
How about
that? Believe
me. Yep. Yes. That is very true. And
because the Bears in Cleveland were supposed to be there. Let's start off with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you believe that? Now that you look back.
I know. Two Super Bowl favorites end up with 500 or worse records. Unbelievable.
Right. Exactly.
Patrick Mahomes now, because we have to remember, Trent Dilfer might have studied the tape, like he said, of these last two games.
I'm just saying, he's a Super Bowl quarterback, by the way, winner. So I respect the guy, but he's different than Elway and Marino.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so the Chiefs have been behind in their last two playoff games, and in fact, they were behind by 24 points against the Texans, and Patrick Mahomes was asked about, having to come from behind and what happens to this team if that happens again on Sunday. This is his response.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we don't get down that like we have the last few games. But, I mean, the best thing about this team is we've learned how to win different ways as far as scoring early, scoring late, defense stopping enough, and us just scoring enough. And so being able to play in every type of football game has prepared us to go out there and win in whatever way possible.
I think that is a great response, Mike, in that this team could get out to 20-0 by the end of the first quarter, but they've proven that they keep fighting and they find ways to win. So I don't know what Trent Dilfer stopped watching the tape maybe after halftime and say, well,
yeah, they don't lose games by a lot of points.
They don't. That's right.
I will say this. If they're down 20-0 to San Francisco, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to come back against them. That's my opinion only. I'm just saying. San Francisco is, they'll run you to death then. They got the big hogs in the front.
Right.
They'll just continue to take the clock away. I think the other teams like Tennessee and them knew that they got to keep putting the pressure on. I mean, you heard Bill O'Brien, who, by the way, got hired as the GM today. from the Texas for some for some weird reason that I can't figure out.
I thought he was going to get fired and he gets a promotion.
Yeah, now he's going to give himself a lifetime contract probably as the coach. But, I mean, I don't understand. This is the guy that told his team, we better score 50. This is the guy that within one game made two or three horrible decisions, and now he's the GM of the team, so whatever. But I just think, you know what, it's different. Those teams did have that feeling. I don't think San Francisco feels. I think San Francisco feels if they get off to a 20-0 the lead, Kansas City's in big trouble.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, you talked about running the football, and the 49ers are certainly the best team at doing that in the NFL. They led all teams in the regular season and postseason in rushing yards. And so Deion Sanders asked Emmanuel Sanders, were you guys angry in the huddle when they kept calling running plays? And I love Emmanuel Sanders' response here. Take a listen to this.
When you guys ran the ball, no one was tripping in the huddle.
I went and told Kittle, I said, look, I'm about to take these gloves off and get out here and manhandle these boys. Because look, I said, we taking a soul out of them. Right? I said, we taking a soul out of them. Man, ain't nothing like grabbing a dude and you blocking a dude. And I swear, this is the God honest truth. It might be a better feeling than scoring a touchdown seeing a running back run off your block into the end zone. It's one of the best feelings ever. And truthfully, I hope it keeps it that way. Because at the end of the day, it's about winning.
Mike, I love that response. I love the passing.
I love that guy.
Isn't that great, right?
He gets it.
Yes, exactly.
He took the soul from them.
Oh, love that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They were Bruce Willis and Ving Rhames. They made that team, Bruce Willis and Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction, tied to the chairs with Zed.
What an image.
Yeah. Did you hear that, guy? There's nothing like taking the soul out of you and holding on, going out and making contact. That's how San Francisco thinks.
Yeah.
I will say this. When it comes to physical football, physical football,
right,
there's no comparison between the two teams.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I think Kansas City's more finesse.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And we all love to see, you know, the passing game, and it's exciting and so forth. But for old-time football guys like you, we know and appreciate when a team is getting pounded by the running game, and you can almost feel the air being knocked out of linebackers by those offensive linemen getting to the second level. And then when you see wide receivers blocking downfield for that running back to pick up extra yards and so forth, it's a thing of beauty too, and often underestimated by pure football fans because they love to see the ball up in the air. I love that response.
You know what? Here's what I would prefer. What we saw last week. 8 passes. And I know people, the younger set or whoever, or even the older set that love the passing game are making a big deal about it. If it happens like that again, they're gonna kick the crap out of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
They look at Shanahan sticks to the game plan. Here's what happens. And then I've heard people say you don't want Jimmy Garoppolo with any deep throws. He don't need to do deep throws. Throw the 8 to 10 to 15 yarder. Mix it up a little bit. You got that Kittle's guy. They're not gonna stop him all day.
Yeah,
I did see where Sanders is the over under on prop bets for him is 44 yards.
Oh, interesting. That's
which
good,
means
that's
to me. Uh-huh. And the over under for yards for Kittle's is over 70. The over under. Which means I think Vegas thinks the same thing may be happening again.
Mm.
Where Sanders, it's not that he's not going to get open.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's going to be more of a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the soul from Kansas City. That's at least I think they're thinking. I think Garoppolo's going to go more to Kittle's than he will with wide receivers.
Very interesting. And it's also it leads perfectly into what Kyle Shanahan said when he was asked, you know, are you – a lot of people are saying your quarterback, you don't trust your quarterback in passing the ball. And then this is what Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the 49ers, said.
I think it's really funny that people say that. Does anyone notice how good we were running the ball? And we weren't just running it to punt and try to win 3-0. I mean, there was times, especially in that Green Bay game, we had a better chance of getting a 30-yard gain running it, just from some of the looks we were getting and things like that. And There's nothing against Jimmy. Should never apologize for us running the ball too well. I'd also say one thing you can always look at quarterbacks, regardless how it's going, is you can't run the ball if you don't do good on third down. And Jimmy has been as good as anyone to me on third down this year.
That is a great point in that.
I was just going to say the same thing. When they have last week, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8, or 2, boom, boom, first downs on passes.
Yep, exactly.
That's him. He's right about that. But he's right. If you're pulling off chunks of 5, 6, 7 yard gains on runs, why the hell would you pass?
Right, exactly.
And how many times do we see coaches start to pass? You go, why are you passing?
Exactly. Well, there's a guy in Chicago that does that a lot, Matt.
Absolutely. You think Bear fans would understand more than anybody.
Really?
I mean, the Chicago Bears, I mean, if you look at Jim McMahon someday, his passing totals, they weren't gaudy.
Exactly.
Troy, they were running the football.
Troy Aikman, too, Super Bowl quarterback. I think he's got 2-3 rings. Yeah.
I don't think Bob Greasy ever threw more than 15 passes a game.
Right. Mike, why did Dan Marino never win a Super Bowl? Because he would not run the ball. They would call a run play, and he would change it to a passing play. He had no respect for the run, which is why he lost his only Super Bowl appearance and never went back. He was a gunslinger to a fault, and that is sad because Marino is one of the greatest of all time. But his mentality—
Well, you're on your game today.
Oh, what?
You're right.
you're right.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. That was a great analogy because I thought Marino was going to go back 2-3 times. You know?
Oh,
now, there's the other side of this where you had Fran Tarkenton in the Minnesota Vikings. They went 0-4. Well, Joe Capp was the quarterback for one of those games. And you had Dave I, you know, you had some great Chuck Foreman.
Yeah, right.
You had the running backs there. And you know, they just couldn't get over the hump because they played better teams. We brought up, hey, that Kansas City team. Believe me, folks, I'm not on Radio Row. They should fly me down there and sit on every show to give them a little history. From Len Dawson, okay, to Otis Taylor, to the defensive back, Jimmy Marsalis.
Wow.
To Jim Tyrer, the offensive guard, to E.J. Hollop, to Buck Buchanan.
Holy cow.
To Hank Stram. I know them all.
Yeah.
I know that team left to right. The linebackers, Bobby Bell. Jim Lynch. Willie Lanier was the middle linebacker, as good as anybody in the business.
Yep.
As good as anybody in the business. That Kansas City team was one of the best Super Bowl teams of all time.
Yep.
They went once, they lost to Green Bay, and then they came back and knocked out Minnesota.
Wow. You just said a lot of names there that have not crossed my mind in decades.
You want me to keep going? I'll go all night long like Lionel Richie. I mean, I'll tell you right now. I remember those Johnny Robinson, the safety.
Yes, yes.
Hard-hitting number 4. These guys, that Kansas City, Otis Taylor, was one of my favorite receivers in all football.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was awesome, and they just got that. Jan Stenerud.
Yes, the kicker.
Hall of Fame kicker.
Yeah, you got great. That. Mike, again, you're on your game, and you were on your game on our last show when you talked about that these two teams have the best tight ends in the business, and that's funny because George Kittle was asked about that, and this is what he said.
What it says is that, you know, tight ends help with offense. You know, I think both of our offenses are in the top, you know, 5, whether it's scoring or yards or whatever it is. I think that was, you know, the same for the playoff tight ends too. Like, you know, the Saints have good tight ends. Vikings have, you know, Rudolph. Packers have Jimmy Graham. All these teams have all these great tight ends. You know, they're going farther in the playoffs, and I think that's why, because they use their tight ends. You know, whether that's run game, pass game, and when you have willing tight ends that will do everything, it makes your life a lot easier.
Mike, how much did Mitchell Trubisky suffer this year because he had Trey Burton, who was never playing, Adam Shaheen, who's a huge bust, and a bunch of other known names playing tight end?
Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. If Tom Brady, listen, people go, how come Vegas Scores and Odds has you guys? I mean, you guys are doing, we've been getting some nice compliments on Twitter. It's because of shows like this, ladies and gentlemen. Aldo asked the pertinent questions. You know what I mean? But let me ask everybody this. Trubisky did miss not having a good tight end.
Yep.
Trey Burton, he shouldn't, you know what, he can't control his own ship, and the other guy isn't worth a damn, Shaheen.
Yeah.
Maybe Horster will be one of those guys that's good. Maybe they got to go out and get somebody.
Yep.
But if Tom Brady suffered, and by saying he suffered, look, they lost to Miami at New England.
Yep.
He lost Gronkowski. So do you know damn well a guy like Mitch Trubisky needs a better tight end if Tom Brady suffered without his tight end?
You are making a great point. Tom Brady had some of his worst numbers statistically of his career.
Yep.
And, hey, what was the difference there? It had a lot to do with the fact that Rob Gronkowski retired, and he was so reliant on that big tight end, like so many other offenses are. Those guys get stuff done, not only catching the ball, but providing that extra block for the entire offense. It really is a major part of every offensive engine in the NFL nowadays, and the Bears need to go out and find a tight end while these young guys are developing. Maybe, you know, get a veteran in here.
I want Arlington Heights' very own Cole Kmet.
That would be great, the Notre Dame.
You know, he's a cousin of mine.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and Frank Kmet is his dad, who played for the Bears, and he played for Purdue.
Wow.
And Cole Kmet, look him up right now, Aldo, from Notre Dame.
Yeah,
He's going pro.
Yes.
He went to Viators, I think, or I'm trying to think if he went to, I don't know what other schools out there, but Cole Kmet.
St. Viator.
K-M-E-T.
Yeah, St. Viator. St. Viator in Arlington Heights. You're absolutely right.
This guy here is a stud. He's decided to go pro. Mm-hmm. He's big. He can block. He can catch. He made his bones in our area.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sake, for once, the Bears got somebody in their backyard. Go get this kid. He's a Notre Dame kid. He's smart as hell, you know.
Wow.
I remember him at birthday parties, family parties, when he was little.
Yeah. Isn't that wild, Mike? That is wild.
And you know he's from your neck of the woods?
I did not know that, Mike. I did not know. I got to track down his family. See if we can have
him.
Now
I know you're hot on this kid.
Yeah. Well, I always was, but now it's even more special. And Jeff Zagonia, his uncle, also played in the NFL.
Jeff's his uncle, and Frank is a I haven't seen Frank for a long time,
uh-huh.
But when I was on the score, if you look up his dad, Frank Kmet, he was good for the Bears for about 3-4 years.
Yeah, I got to check that out here.
Look up Frank Kmet. We got time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. Frank Kmet.
We got time. This is good stuff. Frank Kmet, K-M-E-T.
Yeah, he's 49 years old here. He went to college at Purdue. I'm not able to find his stats yet. Let me keep looking here.
Because he played for the Bears, man.
Yeah. Oh,
and he was a good and he's a good guy, and his kid can play.
Went to Mount Prospect High School, Hershey High School in Mount Prospect. Oh, unbelievable.
They're local guys, man.
That's wild. I did not
know. If we're going to pick somebody, let's pick one of our own for a change. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Let's bring it home. Hey, I want to play one other soundbite, you know, because I think we've said a lot of complimentary things about both teams. But one thing that really stuck out to me in the Andy Reid press conference from Tuesday was how he talked about the team's preparation for this big game. And it was an air of confidence that I think, you know, all of us who are going to lay a buck down on the game should hear. Listen to Andy Reid.
They're ready to go right after the AFC Championship game and kind of wanted to get back to work. We had a normal week of practice last week. And then you kind of find, we're going to fine tune it here. There are little tweaks that you'll make down here, but not drastic changes in the game plan. But I like the focus that they have. When they need to cut it loose and have fun with this, they cut it loose. But when they're out of practice, they focus in.
Mike, I think that means a lot when your head coach is telling the world, we're ready to go. You know, and these guys are set. They've been working hard. They're also having fun. I mean, Andy Reid, he's been around a long time. What is it, 21 years as a head coach, second trip to the Super Bowl? For him to share that with the public, I think that kind of means something. What are your thoughts?
Well, the first thing I want to say is he's the largest 13-year-old I ever saw in my life. Okay.
Yes, I saw that video. Yes.
I'm. You know, they show Andre the Giant with a beer can in his hand. It looks like a thimble. That's very impressive. The second most impressive thing is Andy Reid in a Ram uniform at 13, looking as big as Merlin Olsen. Okay.
That's right.
I gotta be honest with you. I have no axe to grind with either of these teams.
Yeah.
I like Andy Reid a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He got to the championship team game numerous times in the NFC with Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the Super Bowl once. But you know what? If he wins, that's great. But the other team's been working too. I just want him to know that. And the other team's well coached. I want him to know that too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're having fun. I mean, how can you not have fun, especially if you're Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, and just for people who don't know what you were referencing is when Andy Reid was...
I have never seen a kid that big in my life.
That was unbelievable. He was involved in this old competition called the punt, pass, and kick competition. It was
right.
A bunch of 10, 12, 13-year-old kids and so forth, and there's video of Andy Reid participating in the contest, and Andy Reid looked almost exactly the way he looks now in terms of size. And then all the other kids are like, not even half
his
size.
All the other kids come up to his crotch.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and by the way, there was an Andy Reid impersonator the other night, a grown man dressed like Andy Reid as a Ram in the punt, pass, and kick contest. I thought it was Andy Reid, for God's sake. It's unbelievable, man. And that is one of the freak things of all time. Andy Reid.
That is hilarious.
As a 13-year-old. Look, you know, my dad told me from day one that I could remember, you stand up to the bully. If Andy Reid would have been the bully, I'm not standing up to
no,
him. How's
no,
that?
No, thank you. No, thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to jump him from behind with about 15 guys and hope we win.
That's right. I'm going to be in the back.
My God.
The back of the pack. Hey, Johnny Santucci just joined us in the chat room.
I love Duke.
And I know why, because he tunes in every show at around this time to listen to this.
Yeah! Come on now! Your mama! Want me to throw some slang in from the 60s? That we used to hear on the playground?
Yeah.
Your mama!
Yes!
Remember?
Oh, absolutely. Make a basket, your mama! Don't you be talking about my mama?
A little soup can towards you. There's your house, bitch!
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. It's always good to harken back to those days. Anyway, I have a Vegas Scores and Odds, ladies and gentlemen. I have hockey tonight. I have a game up right now. I have, as far as the NHL is concerned, I've been doing great with all my venues.
Yes.
Although I was 0-1 on a Vegas Scores and Odds advantage this past Monday. But tonight, I got a couple great games. I got the San Jose Sharks and Canucks on Vegas Scores and Odds right now. I got the side, and I got the total. As far as tonight's games are concerned, we're going all hockey, ladies and gentlemen.
Awesome.
All hockey, okay? So, first of all, I'm gonna cut a deal here because the Predators are... I'm going to buy a goal and a half with the Predators playing the Capitals at Washington. Now, the Predators are 22-19.
Mm-hmm.
The Capitals are 34-11. A goal and a half is going to cost me $185 to win 100. So I will take a game and a half off of if I lose this game. Not just a game and a half, because I'm asking you to spend more than $100 on the bet. But I love the Predators getting a goal and a half. It's on the NBC Sports Network at 6:35 tonight. Also,
Central.
In hockey, I have the Dallas Stars playing the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And the over-under in that game is 6. You got Maple Leafs at 26-17. The Stars are 28-17. I'm going to take the under 6 in that game. And then I have the Arizona Coyote playing the Anaheim Ducks. Did you ever think there'd be two teams like that in the National Hockey League?
No.
30
No, absolutely
Christ,
not.
I'm looking at the names. They still don't sound real. The one was a movie, for Christ's sake. The Mighty Ducks. All right. I got over Arizona the 5. were fired. So I got Nashville plus the 1 half goals minus 185. I got under Dallas 6, and I got over Arizona 5 tonight. All in the NHL.
Eldo,
back to you, my friend.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We have, I love hockey. If you come down to my man cave, I've got hockey memorabilia all over the place.
You got bubble hockey.
Yes, I got bubble hockey game.
I used to kick butt in that game, man.
Yeah, well, next time you come over, we're going to have a match, you and I.
Yeah, because I got a feeling I'd have a problem with you, maybe. You got it downstairs in your basement.
That's right. I played a few games, so, but I'm a little out of... out of
I might have to come over next week.
Yeah, you should come over.
I haven't seen Doodles for a couple months.
Oh, he misses you. He misses you.
I know he does. He goes, where's the guy with the treats?
That's right. But I just want to give a shout-out to Patrick Kane, who just recently scored his 1,000th point with the Chicago Blackhawks. And then he had another excellent weekend, All-Star weekend, down at St. Louis. Despite all the boos the St. Louis fans were giving him, he went out and won the Shooting Stars competition in overtime. He's just a great performer and a great player for the Chicago Blackhawks, and so I just wanted to give
now
a shout out
to Bobby Hull, where the team isn't going to do anything, and you know, Taves is Makita. You know, the Stars are still on the team, yep. But they don't have enough.
Yeah, they
too
don't.
Bad.
They
it's
don't.
Too bad because I interviewed both guys when they first came into town. I interviewed Talon,
mm-hmm.
Taves, and Kang. They brought them to the score. I had the time of my life with them. They've accomplished a lot, but it's a shame that a kid of that talent's going to waste. Now I got to. And I just don't understand what happened. I thought they were going to win 5 in 10 years, and then they got rid of Quenneville. Well, I do understand what happened. Something happened where they didn't want Quenneville anymore, and guess what? Now it's not working.
Yep, how about that? How true?
Unbelievable.
How true is that? Here's a guy who's the second winningest coach in NHL history.
He's the winningest.
Oh, is he? Did he move into number one?
Yeah.
And so they go into
Hall of Famer.
Right. The general manager makes some poor moves with player acquisition, and so they blame it on the winning guy coach. That's crazy.
And then they hire a kid. He reminds me. I never heard of him. Colleton.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the guy, the kid that was taking Pacino around in Son of a Woman. You know, he's just there, you know? Chris O'Donnell. Remember that?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I mean, really, does anybody... I bet you people don't even know the guy's name.
Well, I think I know his middle name is Yes Sir, because he is a yes man, and he'll do anything...
Oh, listen to you with the cheap shot. You're becoming very brazen, my friend.
Where did I get that from?
I love that, but you're right. You're right. You know, you got a baseball guy up there getting rid of a Hall of Fame... John McDonough getting rid of a Hall of Fame coach. I don't get it.
Oh, my goodness. How about that? That is just doesn't make any sense.
I've never seen Rocky Wirtz look smaller than he did that day, sitting in the corner by the table. The guy that built everything up just let everybody take over.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yep.
All right, let's turn our attention to some prop bets of the Super Bowl. Everybody in the chat room saying, okay, what advice can Mike give me regarding the Super Bowl? Because I'm going to lay some money down. By the way, I saw this article on 538.com. Everybody plays the boxes now. Mike, do you know what are the best numbers to get on a box?
On the squares, you mean?
Yeah, exactly, the squares.
Yeah, threes, 3-0, 0-0.
Exactly.
I mean, but 7-0. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes it could be, like I said the other day, if you get an 8 and a 4 and the numbers keep changing, you got a good shot.
Yep, you're absolutely right. But yeah, I was surprised to see that 0-0 was actually number one. It usually will pay off, like, not usually, I should say it was like 25% of the time. If you've got 0-0, you've got great odds to winning a buck. So those of you who get playing the squares this weekend, hopefully you get the double zeros. That could pay off for you. All right, what do you got in terms of prop bets?
All right, prop bets. I like the under 305 yards passing, 305.5 yards passing for Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm not going to put this on a record or anything. I'm just telling people that I saw this and I sort of liked it. It just seems too easy to take over.
Yeah.
I also like the under 239 yards to Jimmy Garoppolo, over under 239.5 yards. I like the under in that because I think if they're going to win, they're going to win by running the football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Then I like this prop bet which involves who will throw more touchdown passes in the game. Patrick Mahomes is minus 0.5 at minus 200, while Garoppolo is plus 0.5, a half a point more, at plus 150. You know what? I'd lean Garoppolo and just take the plus, you know, take the extra hook, just to get the hook, because they could tie. Who knows what's going to happen there? Who will have more passing yards in the game? Patrick Mahomes at minus 63.5 or Jimmy Garoppolo at plus 63.5. So there's all sorts of good stuff out here. The heads and tails you can do. I like the under 44 yards pass receiving for Sanders in San Francisco. So those are some of the ones that I came up with. But I got some fun ones.
All right.
Because I know you've been at Mike. Please, can you spruce it up a little? Can you get a little more entertaining? I go, I don't know what else you want me to do. You're squeezing a turnip out. Now we have these meetings. But anyway, I have some fun ones. Over and under. Dogs and how many commercials will have dogs in them? The over under is 3.5.
Oh, I like the over. I like the over on that one. I'm putting
okay,
10 bucks.
Okay, me and you would both lose. I took the over too because we have Doodles and Lucky and we're prejudiced.
Exactly.
You know? how many times? This is a great one.
Uh-huh.
In any commercial that Bloomberg runs, over under Trump's name is mentioned.
Yes,
two.
Yes.
Two. Is the over under in Bloomberg commercials for Trump. So, and two, his name being mentioned.
Yes.
What do you think?
Oh, I'm going to say under. I think they're
I am too.
Yeah, oh, look at it. They're thinking alike.
You don't want to call. You don't call attention to King Kong. You let it go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He gets enough publicity. If you're running ads, you got to try to sell yourself, especially if you're paying $5 million.
Oh my goodness, that's how much he's paying. Holy cow!
That's what they're all paying.
Holy cow! Like,
$2.5 million for 35. I mean, what the hell's going on? And then here's a good one. This is a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
First food commercial, snack commercial to be shown.
Oh.
Will it be Doritos at plus 125?
Mm-hmm.
Cheetos at plus 300.
Mm-hmm.
Avocado at plus 500.
Mm.
Or, I don't know what this one, but it said plus 150. But, yeah, you can bet on which commercials are going to run first.
Well, I mean, Doritos is a longtime Super Bowl sponsor. You'd almost think that that's got to be the one that's going to come first. That's where I'd lay my $100. But
yeah, I would put the 100 because somebody knows something. Because I like the avocado stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But it's at plus 500, so they know somebody knows something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So those are the ones I got. I actually did some homework today.
Oh, look at you. You do homework every show. I wanted to talk a little bit about generally the over-under, which I believe is now at 54. It started off at 51.5, and then the vast majority of the bets coming in were on the over. And so now it's kind of steadied off at 54. So my gut still says that because here's a trend that I thought was interesting. The over is 4-1-1 in San Francisco's last six games, and the over has cashed in seven of San Francisco's last nine games on grass, and this game is on grass. In addition to that, the over is also 7-2 in Kansas City's last nine games against teams with a winning record as well. Now, I know the Niners have a great defense, but man, 54 points over, that might be a sweet little $50 bet for
me. It might, and you know what? Here's another thing. I mean, if San Francisco's going to win, I think they'd win by the under coming in. If Kansas City's going to win, I think they'd come in with the over. But you're right, they could win the game 35-30,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. The over-unders are tough nowadays because 54 in the old days, you would have never seen it that high.
Right.
And 54 is a lot of points. But I remember the last time the Ravens were in with their great defenses, I think it was 50. Did they play New Orleans? I'm trying to remember who they played. But, I mean, yeah, I guess There's going to be a lot of open spaces. You got tight ends. You got wide receivers that are going to be on the outside. I think the thing you worry about, I mean, does San Francisco, if it's going to go over, you think it would be Kansas City. If it's going to go under, you think it'd be San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know? But sometimes it ends up going the other way around. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I really do. By the way, I want to bring this up. I don't know if we were going to talk about it, but the Chris Bryant ruling came down today.
Oh yeah, I got that on my notes right here.
Oh, okay.
One more betting thing, and then we'll turn to baseball and some other things.
You're addicted now.
I know. You're getting me into the whole betting world. I'm starting to really enjoy this. A lot of the money, like 60% of the bets, are being placed on the Kansas City Chiefs, according to online sports books. So as a bettor, Mike, is there anything that we should read into that? The fact that so much of the money, should we, go with that wave or think twice about it? Any tips that you can give us?
All right, 6 out of every 10 people are betting on Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but where's the big money going? In other words, I'll put it in political terms.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders is one of the great fundraisers, of any presidential candidate ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he does it through small donations.
Right.
You know what I mean?
$20, $5.
$25, yep. $15.
Sure.
But he gets a lot of people, okay? So we're 60% of the people are betting. How much are they betting? Are they the casual public? And are the wise guys, the guys that are the big donors, donating to a presidential campaign, the big hitters? Maybe that 40% is the smart money. I don't know which way to tell you. I do know this. The public seems to like Kansas City more than the 49ers. I think the public knows more about Kansas City than they do about the 49ers, just for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid alone.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to tell me Jimmy Garoppolo and Shanahan, I mean, really, compared to Andy Reid and Mahomes over the last, Andy Reid over the last 20, 30 years, and Mahomes, one of the dominant players in NFL right now.
Right. I'm with you 100% there. I think the way you've read that is perfect.
So, yeah, it's Bernie Sanders, small donations, 60% of the people, maybe you got Jamie Dimon or, some of the big bankers, maybe throwing their weight towards, like, Trump, in other words, or, the big money donors, And I think that you got – so that's how I would compare it, because Bernie Sanders raises as much money as any Democrat in the field, including Biden for sure, by the regular folk pitching in.
Yep. One thing I've learned about betting this season is that when you've got two teams who are doing really well against the spread over their last several games, that's a tough bet and probably one you should stay away from.
You don't want to really – you want to bet the Super Bowl. I mean, I used to bet the Super Bowl just to bet it.
Right.
And then I'd get my head handed to me, I wanted to just – I wasn't going to sit there and watch. But sometimes you don't have a read. Because I'm with Vegas Scores and Odds, I got to make sure – I got a strong play on Vegas Scores and Odds. I got my Super Bowl the total and the side up right now. the Bear Super Bowl was a cakewalk.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That was money in the bank.
I mean, the biggest dummies on earth from Chicago made money for the first time in their lives. We all bet the Bears. All the big dummies like me, we all bet the Bears.
That's right.
Hey, I won. So did I. Yeah, we're all Bear fans. We got lucky for what?
Yeah, but when Walter fumbled on that first series, weren't we all?
Can I tell you something? When Walter fumbled on the first series, I started putting the gas on with the stove.
Yes, exactly. Turn on the stove, yes.
Hey, by the way, without a flame.
That's right. Turn off the pilot, but turn
all
off.
All I heard was, after he fumbled, all I heard from the stove was, because at that point in our lives, nothing ever had gone right for us.
Oh, that was...
Now we have the most dominant team in football. We have the greatest running back who ever played.
Yep.
We got a coach that's magical. We got a defensive coordinator that's crazy.
Mm.
And then Peyton fumbles. And I'm going, I told B at the time. I'm pacing already. I'm walking around. It's 3-0. We might as well be down 30-0. Because I said, I hope this doesn't end like this.
Yeah. Mike, you got that so right. When as soon as the game was over, I made a toast. I was with my buddies watching the game.
Oh, I cried.
And the toast was, finally, God, finally.
I cried.
After going through the 1970 Chicago Blackhawks up 2-0 in the third period and of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
We were up 3-2 and we lost the last two games.
Exactly. The last two games of the series. I remember I was like an 8-9-year-old kid crying in front of the radio because TV didn't telecast NHL games for some reason. I don't
know. Andre Richard skated around Magnuson.
Keith Magnuson, yeah.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah.
All these young guys in the chat room saying, what, these guys are old. They're talking about games from 1969. Yes, we're old, but we got...
Damn right we're old, baby. I'm proud to be there.
Yeah, me too, brother. Me too.
Because we saw some of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw them all. Hey, I don't need to go to YouTube to see Willie Mays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go to YouTube to see Bobby Hall.
Yep.
I don't need to go to YouTube to see Will Chamberlain.
Yep.
I go all night long. I don't need to go to YouTube to see. I saw him all in person.
You talked to a lot of them, too. You interviewed Will Chamberlain, one of the great interviews I ever saw. That was outstanding.
I was with Peyton. I saw Peyton's first game. He had 8 carries for no yards against the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my buddy John O'Malley. I go, this is the guy we drafted? And then he went nuts after that for the rest of his career.
That's right. All right, let's turn our attention to baseball because the big news of the day in baseball is that the Chicago Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant lost his grievance in which he was seeking an extra year of service time, which would have allowed him to become a free agent after the 2020 season. Instead, now he becomes a free agent after the 2021 season. For those of you who don't know, the Cubs had announced they brought him up, ensuring that he would have 171 days of service instead of 172 days of service, which would have given him that opportunity to become a free agent a year earlier. He lost that grievance. Your thought on that whole situation, Mike?
I remember when they did it to him.
Yep.
They delayed bringing him up.
Yep.
And I'll never forget it. And they said because the Cubs want to get another year of service time. It happens all the time, folks.
Yes, it does.
It happens in Major League Baseball all the time. If you don't like the rule, change it.
Right.
But Brian crying about it and his agent crying about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, come on, man. That's the way it goes. You've made a ton of money already. I understand why you might be miffed. But you challenged. You went after the system and you lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to cry about it? And now I'm hearing that he wants out. He wants out.
He wants to be traded, correct.
He wants out. And you know what? I mean, there's better third baseman, folks. I understand. Arenado from Colorado. But I like Chris Bryant. But if you're going to have that attitude, he's a head case to begin with. And now he's going to have this hanging over his head. He's going to be mad at the team because of service time. I think he's the type of guy it can affect this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the kid's not a solid pro, but really, the last year or two, he hasn't been what I thought he was going to be. I'm sorry.
You're right.
And you know what? He's still making $18 million a year.
Not bad. Not bad penny there, I'll tell you that. Well, he's upset because now he will turn a free agent when he hits 30 years old. And that's, you know, not a death penalty for anyone, any free agent in sports. But that number 30 when you're a free agent, you know, there is that kind of stigma.
Well, what happens if he hits 320 with 35 homers at 110 RBIs?
It doesn't matter if you're 30 or 33, then you're going to make some money. Right. So
he's got to stand up like a man, stay with the team. What? How's Ross supposed to win anything if he's losing players like you?
Mm-hmm.
But show everybody that you deserve the money. But you don't want to bet on yourself, I bet, do you, pal? You want out of Chicago? If that's the way he's going to feel because of a technical thing, it's business, son. It's business.
Now let's talk about the trade business. Does this help the Cubs in trade negotiations if they want to unload Bryant because he's under contract for 2 more years? So doesn't this help their trade negotiations?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he wants out, but yet then it hurts. It also hurts the market, their market for him.
Mm-hmm.
If people know he wants out, then you don't have to bid as high.
Yeah.
They just want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he should stay. I'm a fighter, though. I've always been that way. If people didn't think I deserved something, I'd make them earn my respect, or at least that's the plan. It doesn't always work that way. For him, I just want to be traded. You know what? Dave underachieved anyway in my eyes, even with just the one. I thought they'd win 2 to 3 in 10 years. Now the team's breaking up all over the place. And this nonsense, they can only play Baez or Bryant. They can't pay both. You got the Ricketts worth $3 bucks just with Daddy and Tom alone. Are you people serious? We're going to start worrying about the luxury tax? I mean, come on. The fans load that ballpark up. Put the best team you can on the field. You've been sitting on your butts during the offseason doing nothing, and basically maybe Steven Sousa away from doing absolutely nothing. So just, you know, see if Chris Bryant, I try to keep him, but I'm sure he's pissed off right now. About what? I don't know. If I was getting $18 million a year, and I'm like, okay, I'll wait till next year. I mean, you want to talk about money grubbing, money hungry? My God.
Yeah,
young guy like that, he's going to let his, you know, unbelievable.
I'm with you. Okay, a little equal time here. Have the White Sox had the best offseason of any team in the major leagues? Because they have been very busy. They added Edwin Encarnacion, the veteran slugger. They added Dallas Keuchel, 3-year contract. Gio Gonzalez, another starting pitcher. They've gave a 3-year contract to Jose Abreu. They signed a catcher, which they didn't really need, but some people think he's the best catcher in baseball. I mean, those are just some of them. It was Nomar Mazara. So, conversely, with the Cubs, who have been very quiet during the offseason, the White Sox are very busy. Do you think the White Sox are going to take that next step in the 2020 baseball season?
They better. I like the Keuchel signing, but he was 8-8 last year. He's not the same pitcher he was.
Right.
3.75,
mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the Grandel signing, but the other stuff seems good. It seems like Jerry was miffed by the second place talk. Maybe he wants to finish it first. I know Minnesota just signed Josh Donaldson. He's a nice upgrade.
Yep.
I think the White Sox still need pitching and they need defense. And I don't think right now they have either. I think they can hit with anybody in baseball. I think they could put up, but are they going to, you know, baseball, you don't put up 7 runs every day, folks. So I'm anxious to see. They need another starter. You know, Kobe got outrighted. Kopech's not back, right? So
right.
We'll see what happens. But I don't think they're ready yet. But at least the rebuild's over. Renteria thinks they're ready. They think they're a playoff-caliber team. They went out and they armed themselves with guys like Encarnacion. They re-signed Abreu. So I'm excited for them. At least they did something.
Mike, I think that Jerry Reinsdorf listens to your show here. He heard you complain.
Jerry, I love Jerry. You know what? I just want to, look, I have no malice towards him, but some of the nonsense, like the second place finishing, pissed me off. And he knows it would piss me off.
Oh, yeah.
Me and him have been friends for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
That was not, I don't want to hear talk like that. And I don't think players do either. And I hope the White Sox, I think they only overspent on Grandel. I like the Encarnacion pick up, the Keuchel stuff. I give them an A for effort. Let's see what happens.
Hey, before I let you go, I want you to comment on a story that broke this morning. Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, is contemplating retiring this season. This is Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network talking about it.
This really does sound like a real decision for Drew Brees and, you know, whether or not he comes back for the 2020 season. First of all, it's going to be with the Saints if he does come back. That is clear, no doubt about it. But this is a real decision that he has to make. I think for people who thought it would just be kind of a rubber stamp for Brees, they would be surely mistaken. He's going to take a month. He's going to figure it out. Does he really have enough to come back? Does his body feel well enough? Or has he simply accomplished what he needs to accomplish?
What do you think, Mike? Do you think Drew Brees is going to continue to play in the NFL for the Saints, or you think he's going to hang him up?
I'd almost rather have him for the Bears than Brady if they decided both to go free agent.
I agree with you.
You agree, yeah.
Although
I really do. I mean, I love Drew Brees. I want him to play again. I think he's going to play.
The one benefit.
Look, you know when you're done. If he's got to wait a month, he's just letting it lie. You know what? Every softball season, I remember, I played softball for 40-some years. I remember my first softball season. We lost a tough game at the end. I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to. You come back every year, man. Mm-hmm. You love the game. I think you'll come back. I think you'll get hungry again. You know, he's still digesting the past season. He did have an injury. You know, Bridgewater was out. They were 5-0 without him. That's about the only time, really, you'll see Drew Brees, but Drew Brees thinking to himself, man, they won 5 without me, mm-hmm. you know? But he's got his kids. I think he's got one more year left in him.
Yeah. Mike, I heard that every spring your friends would come out and play catch outside your home, and you would say, okay, I'll play again.
Man, I was the first one out there, man. I loved sports so much when I was – I loved it so much. I love playing sports. Mm. I love sports. It's given me everything. I mean, it just – sports is great. I don't like the nonsense. And then you have the tough things. I mean, somebody asked me about, you know, after Kobe, what was the toughest day for you? And I said the day Jordan retired was a tough day.
Yeah.
Jim LaFever got fired. Mm-hmm. Jordan retired on the same day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Let's see. James Jordan dying.
Yeah.
He heard. That was tough. That was a tough week or two. Mm-hmm. So there's been some tough ones, but not like what happened with Kobe.
Yeah, and for me, when Roberto Clemente died, you know, being Puerto Rican, he was such a hero for everyone in our island, and the way he died, you know, going on a mission to bring supplies to Nicaragua, which had just gone through an earthquake, and for his plane to crash in the sea, that was really traumatic for all of us at our home and so forth, very much like people are going through with Kobe. Yeah, that was not a fun time, but...
Roberto Clemente was still playing.
Yes, that's right. He had just...
He wasn't finished like Kobe.
Right, he had...
I mean, he had 3,000. He got his 3,000.
Exactly.
He was going to play the next year.
Exactly, yes. He just got his
3,000. He was a great ball player.
He really was.
Look, Aaron, Mays, Mantle, Clemente, stop it.
No.
Please, dear Lord, stop it. You know, people talk about Trout and all the play, and the training methods now are better, but I seen the best, man.
Oh, yeah.
We seen the best. Mm. I mean, Roger Maris, for God's sake, was a great ball player.
He really was, huh?
I mean, I was an all-star for the Cardinals and the Yankees. The guy hit 61 homers. I mean, Brooks Robinson, Santo, Banks. I mean, all the great ones, man. The 60s, to me, will always be the golden age of baseball. Always.
Yeah, I'm with you. So let's do this. One of our upcoming shows, let's just talk about your all-time great baseball team.
After the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that. That's a deal. And
let's hope we win, guys, on the Super Bowl. Good luck this week for everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell people where they can go to get your actual Super Bowl pick and other picks if they want to lay some money down.
Well, we got the three picks. Let me tell you everybody's picks that we have for tonight for hockey. Nashville, -185 at getting a goal and a half. Under Dallas, 6. Over Arizona, 5. And then Vegas Scores and Odds. My good friends out there, great guys. I got a hockey game up tonight, San Jose. The San Jose game is up tonight versus Vancouver, plus the total. Go to Vegas Scores and Odds. Check the front page. I'm number one this month in most victories, 49-36. Have a good time, everybody. Eldo, great show as always, my friend.
Yeah, and please, if you're listening, we're one away from that magic number of 700 on Twitter for Vegas Scores and Odds. Please follow VSAO Sports. Help us get to our goal of 700. We've got 699. Let us get one more.
Woo!
Yoo-hoo! Mike, you're the best.
Take care, buddy.